This episode of It's Been a Week is brought to you by Tempur, a mattress like no other. Tempur is committed to ensuring people get their best night's sleep.
As a leader in the design, manufacturing, and distribution of mattresses and pillows, Tempur knows how crucial a good night's sleep is to overall health and wellness and getting you through the week.
Alicia, what are you like after a bad night's sleep?
Well, Jack, let's just say the day can be very tough. I do not have the same energy. I do not feel as sharp. I need my sleep. Actually, we all do.
I feel you, Alicia. Having a bad sleep can set you up for quite a difficult day. That is why we're so happy to have Tempur as a partner of the show, as Tempur mattresses can really help you through the week. Hello and welcome back to It's Been a Week.
It's been a few weeks, Jack.
It has, Alicia. And as always, I am joined by PR dynamo Alicia Grabowski. Alicia, we did two eps before Christmas and we're happy to be back for another big year. We're going to be releasing an ep every week. They'll be dropping Thursday morning just in time for your commute to work.
And our aim is to give you guys the news you can use each week with a bit of our lives thrown in, obviously, but we do want to hear from you. We want you to slide into our DMs. Let us know what's going on in your world and what you want us to get to the bottom of.
And speaking of DMs, as always, slide in, but a lot of listeners have been asking actually how we know each other. We've known each other for almost 20 years, haven't we?
We have. Time flies when you're having fun, Jack.
Not always. We were kind of rivals because we worked at different media organisations. I was at Channel 9 and you were at Channel 7. You actually knew my husband better than I knew you.
Yes, and before I knew you, I think.
Yes, and how I got to know you was we were both after the same story, and I remember getting my foot in a door and kicking the door closed when I was doing an interview, and you were banging on the door going, "Let me in, let me in."
And still to this day, I do not remember that, but you swear it happened.
Because so I won that battle.
I'll take your word for it, Jack.
But we are very different, aren't we? You love champagne and coffee.
Yes, I need my morning coffee and I live for a glass of champagne, and you hate both.
I was going to say one glass of champagne.
Well,
about 10.
I mean.
But yes, I don't drink fizzy drink and I don't drink coffee. I just drink tea.
I drink tea too, but as I said, I need that coffee just to get me going in the morning. Maybe it's a three-child thing. Tips me over the edge.
I stopped it too. And I love animals. I've got two horses. I've got a dog. I'm obsessed with animals, but you give them a wide berth.
Look, I've never been on a horse and I have no interest in hopping on one. I do have a dog though.
Which I've looked after. Old Frankie, who's been with you for many years now, you got caught out and said, you're about to go interstate, I think, and you're like, oh my God, can you just take my dog for a fortnight? She's no trouble. And it turns out this dog is an escape artist.
She was trouble.
And she was. And I left her and she got out and you got a phone call.
I got a phone call. It was a 40-degree day. I remember it. And the person said, "Oh, we found your dog, and we've had her for hours and hours on end." And I called you, and I said, "Jack, are you missing something?" And you said to me, "I've been at work since 7 a.m. this morning. Poor Frankie had been wandering the streets, dehydrated, no food, no love."
You were flowering this up, but when your husband Tom did come to collect dear Frankie, the first thing he did was drop her, and she ran across a major road and almost got hit by a car. So there you go. Our political views too are very different. We sit on different sides of the fence.
We do. And we sort of agree to disagree on that, although you do send things to me here and there that just to get me going.
Antagonise you, I think the word is. And our husbands are very different
too. They're different. I feel like Michael helps. Tom doesn't really.
I like to treat your husband. You say he doesn't help. He helps me.
He doesn't help me.
I like to treat your husband as though he's my husband without the benefits. I ring him up, "Tom, can you come and hang these pictures? Tom, can you come and clean my drains?" So sorry, Tom, this has been happening for years. He's basically like my at-home builder, but I don't pay him.
Yeah, but you said to me, maybe we should come up with a bit of an arrangement. Michael comes and looks after my kids and Tom keeps
can do
doing
my
all
home
of your
maintenance. And we're also welcoming back, of course, our ace producer, Sam. Sam, how were your holidays?
They were great. I actually ran into you, Jackie, down at Port Ferry.
Port Ferry, population literally 10 people. Obviously it swells during the holidays, but I was walking down the beach and I hear this, "Jack." Sam, he loves a bit of annual leave.
That's
Sam.
Not how it went though, did it? Because you said to me, Sam said, Jack, it's me, Sam, the producer.
Yes. Well, I know. You did take two looks at me. You're like, and then you realised, which was good.
I was also, you know, when you just discombobulated because you're not expecting to see people in a certain environment.
In a different context.
But how were your holidays, Alicia?
My holidays got off to a bit of a wonky start. My 7-year-old snapped his collarbone on day one of the school holidays. He wasn't even with me at the time. He was with a babysitter. I was at work. I had to drive to the scene of the crime. He was laying on the floor. I didn't know what he'd broken. He couldn't move. I swear I spend more time in emergency departments with these children than I spend in my own home.
I actually agree with you. I've barely been to emergency with any of my kids, and every second day I'll call you and you're like, oh, yeah, we're back in emergency with some broken bone.
It's the boys, I'm telling you. It's the boys.
Broken bones are bad, but I reckon I can top that. I don't know much about Roblox, but it's a thing. I probably should.
I mean,
this is a good message to all of our listeners, isn't it? How much do you have eyes on your kids and what they're doing online? Well, I learned a really valuable lesson. Valuable is a good way to put it, actually, because my daughter looked over my shoulder. She asked me to buy some Roblox money. What do you call it?
Robux for the Roblox. I'm all over it.
So she asked me to buy it. I said, okay, here's $10 worth of these Robux.
Not going to get her much.
And then, well, turns out she had other plans. So she memorized my Apple password, which was quite complicated, over my shoulder and bought $700 worth of Robux, and I thought we'd been hacked, so I made Michael spend 3 hours on the phone to the bank saying we'd been hacked, because all I could see were these like $14, $60, $10, and I'm thinking, oh, no, they've gotten in, something's happened. So over the holidays I obviously had less stuff. So 3 hours he was on the phone and the people from the NAB were like, no, Tiger, you've been buying this. And it turns out she'd just been having a great old time spending up.
She was richy rich on Roblox.
Well, it turns out, this is my hot tip of the week, that actually you can go in and apply for a refund with Apple and you just say that your kid used the details and Apple refund it. It's called Request a Refund, Minor Unauthorized Purchase. So I did this 2 days ago and today I got my money back.
And now I'm going to go back over the past 2 years and try and get all of my money back.
So DM us, what have your kids spent? Have they hacked into your bank accounts like me? What have they done that they really shouldn't have done online?
Maddie is just the queen on there at the moment. She's just trading. She's like, she's got it all happening.
I've learned a lot about Roblox over the last few weeks. But what was interesting was the punishment for that. Obviously she had to be punished. So we've banned her from all tech for a month. And there was an initial throwdown, but she knew what she did was wrong, so she accepted it. And she's gone back, would you believe it, to reading books. And it's been an actual revelation because she's read 3 books over the last week and she's really enjoyed them because she doesn't have that option of tech.
Yeah. It is hard over the holidays to keep them entertained. Every day's a struggle trying to sort of keep them off the screens but, you know, still having their downtime. Like, what's the happy medium? What could you not live without these holidays, Jake?
I bought this thing, and this is not sponsored, I promise you, called a Cool Cabana. I feel like I'm the last one on the train for this.
But we
used to have one of those beach tents where you just cook yourself inside the tent, you know, and you're roasting. And as we know, my husband isn't a builder.
Did you divorce every time you were to put it up with the pegs?
And the bits of wire that you've got to put through. Nightmare. These Cool Cabana things, they're everywhere. I wish I'd invested in the company.
Well, I have jumped the gun or had jumped the gun. We went on a holiday to Queensland and we thought, you know what, our daughter's turning 4. She's 4, she's a big girl, she'll tell you that. Mm. We won't take a stroller. We won't worry about it. Well, I spent 8 days carrying this child who's literally almost as tall as me.
You're a small woman.
On my hip. She would not walk anywhere. She would not let anyone else carry her except for me. So my hot tip is now, until she's about 7, I cannot live without a stroller on holidays.
You'll be like Rafael Nadal with one arm that's significantly bigger than the other.
I really hope not, but I feel like I did maybe lose about 5 kilograms. I walked off all the champagne, that's for sure.
We didn't take strollers when we went overseas last year, and we did, you know, for my 40th, we went to Europe, and Michael, we ended up hiring them. But in Europe, there's nowhere that has lifts, so you're with the stairs all the time. And I've got these great videos of Michael kind of having to lift these these strollers up 10 flights of stairs just because Georgia, who's five, was refusing.
Good for his physique as well.
He loved
it. But again, I've proved holidays are just parenting in a different location. We went to Noosa, we spent a bomb, but really we could have just stayed here.
Well, let's switch now from holiday mode into news mode. And this week we're going to take a look at real estate. We're going to touch on interest rates again. We're going to get an update about a local council issue that we've been fighting. We had a win there, and snake sightings.
So real estate is a hot topic at the moment. And Jack, with everyone talking about the market, the frenzy prices, but I want to just touch on quickly, when you do go on holidays, I always look at, oh, how much would it cost to actually live here? Do you do that?
I'd like to live anywhere because I'm one of the people that's still trying to buy in the current market, and we can't. There's no stock at the moment because people who don't need to sell are simply holding. They're not selling.
Yeah.
So we've really struggled. We've been renting for nearly 2 years now, and I think we were talking about earlier, it's really difficult when you're renting and you're trying to save or you're waiting to buy a house because rents keep going up as well.
Well, the figures have come out and Melbourne values have fallen by 8.3%. Sydney's fallen by 12.7%. It's the biggest
one.
Brisbane down by 9.4% and Perth is 0.6%. So apparently the best place to be.
We talked about our differences early in this podcast and we're in very different states in regards to property. As I said, we're trying to buy, but you've just moved into a new home.
We've moved in, and we did have that tricky situation as well, though, that my husband is a builder, so we renovated. So we had to rent while we were renovating. So we had the mortgage and we had the rent at the same time. But because of the fact that he is a builder, we have dipped our toe into the property market quite a bit. And the one thing that I think, well, probably the two things that I've learnt, that it is all about timing. So if you're going to buy in the market when it's quite flat, you're going to be able to hold on to that property, as you had said, which a lot of people are doing because they just don't need to sell. If you're going to buy in a market where prices are quite high, you will have to sort of accept at that point that you're just going to have to wait it out to make any money off your property.
And you've gone straight to an expert to get more on this, haven't you?
Yes, we have. Oren Flam from Hodges Caulfield says all is not lost in this market. Here's a little bit of what he had to say.
Fortunately, buyers have found a way to adjust. With all the interest rate rises, it is important to take a look at your sums and know what your limitations are before jumping into the market.
And Jack, obviously when buying a house, 99% of us do have to borrow money.
Mm-hmm.
And that brings us back to what we spoke about in our episodes last year, which was interest rates.
So there have been 8 rises in 8 months. Most people in Australia now have a variable rate and it's over 5%. And many people, it's quite staggering really when you think about the increase to where we were a couple of years ago, are now at over 5.5%. And we've spoken to an expert who says anyone who has a rate above 5% needs to get it crunched down and look at refinancing immediately.
He says also that a good rate today is between 4.6 and 4.8%. So that is the magic number, which I think is really useful for people. So Steve Zamekul from Mortgage Choice, he has this advice.
Check your current rate and go back to your current bank and ask them the question, what is the best rate you can offer me? And let them know you are looking around at refinancing options. As you know, there are more attractive lower rates on offer. Second tip, now if you can refinance and get a new lower rate that will save you more than $1,000 per year over a 20 or 30 year period, that's obviously a saving of $20,000 or $30,000. Tip number three, chat to a mortgage broker. The service is free. The broker will take the stress away from you by managing the refinance process from end to end.
I actually did this. We have a small loan left on a block that we have, and we realised that it had come off fixed and onto variable, and it had jumped up well over 5%. And we made one quick phone call, so 5 minutes of your time, and the bank reduced it that day back in under the 5%.
And Steve did say that when I was chatting to him, actually. He said it's interesting if a bank is willing to retain its customers or not. If you have a look online, have a look at your interest rate, give them a call, they'll either crunch it down for you or basically the customer's lost because you'll go elsewhere.
Mm, and you can, and you should be prepared to do that, right? Another thing that we've learned is what mortgage brokers actually do and how their business model works.
So most people don't actually realise that to use a mortgage broker, to call them up, have a chat, and then to actually use one, it's free for the consumer. So the banks pay the broker, not you.
And the way their business model is set up, they actually get paid for the life of your loan, which is so interesting.
Yeah. So if you take out a loan for 20 or 30 years, for that 20 or 30 years, the mortgage broker gets the trail from that.
I feel like we're in the wrong industry.
We should just become mortgage brokers. Sam, what do you think?
Well, it's funny you say that because myself and my partner are actually approaching a mortgage broker at the moment because it is free and just to see where we're at. So, no, it's definitely worth it.
And they're experts in the field. And this is the thing, when you're making the biggest life decision, which is generally buying a house or getting married, Sam, you're way off. I don't know, that might come after the house.
The knee's not getting shaky at all.
I hope your partner listens to this.
Yes. He does, and I will cop it for that later on.
You will.
Yeah, what's her name again?
Clara.
Clara. Let's get on Sam. We're going to start hammering him about proposals.
We love a wedding.
Oh, we do.
Oh, yeah.
I love what we've brought Sam into this podcast to basically bully him.
Yeah. I am now sweating.
Speaking of wins, right, we have had an early win. Remember how I told you about the oncology nurse who parked in a poorly marked no standing zone and she was actually collecting morphine for a dying patient? She wrote a nice letter to the council and she said, look, this is what I've been doing. This is where I work. And they refused to withdraw it. And then she had to fight it for 6 months. So this has been going back and forward for 6 months. And after we did the story, she received a letter just this week and she messaged me yesterday and she said, lo and behold, the fine has been withdrawn.
So good.
So what a good win. And really, I mean, councils, if you're not on them, they just take advantage of people just like that. Exactly. So please DM us if you feel you've been hardly done by, and we're going to try and take up your case. We have a whole section for it. That's not on section.
Yes, we do. We'll get to that a little later. Speaking of last year, we also spoke to our potato farmer, Jeff Moore from Sandwich.
He was the best.
He was so good. He felt like he went a little bit viral, Jeff.
Oh, love to see it.
He was from Sandwick Park in New South Wales. After we chatted to him the next day, the story did grow some legs.
That's right. So the major supermarkets, we covered it. And then the next morning, the timing was impeccable, actually.
It was.
They put limits on potato chips, so frozen potato chips, and they had two only per customer. And throughout this summer, one of the things that Jeff mentioned as well was that there's going to be a shortage flowing on for months, right? And now fish and chip shops over the summer haven't been able to get chips, and you feel for them because we haven't had tourists coming into these areas for such a long time, and now tourists are down by the sea and people want to have their fish and chips.
And parents and they can't don't want to cook. And parents do want to feed their kids chips every single night.
We literally tried to. So we made chips at home, and what I did was we found this roadside stall, as Sam and I mentioned. I was down near Port Ferry, and we found this like potato farm down there that was selling produce on the side of the road, and it still had the honesty system.
I love
where
this.
You could put your money in, and they even had a little note like BSB, an account number, and you could transfer the money into their account. And they had these little fridges set up by the side of the road, and you could grab your potatoes or your fresh produce straight off the farm. So not only super cheap and super fresh, but no shortage from the farm,
which
I just loved.
There is nothing better than fruit and veg that's come so close to where it's been grown.
As mentioned at the top of the show, Alicia, Temper is partnering with It's Been a Week. They want us to help spread the message of the importance of a great night's sleep.
Oh, Jack, their products are quite amazing in ensuring after a long day you know you're sleeping on the best product available and you'll get a great sleep. And really, that is all we need.
It's always been a week and we always need a good night's sleep. And we are so excited that our friends at Temper are offering It's Been a Week listeners the chance to win a queen-sized mattress valued at $5,000.
This is amazing, Jack. We're going to give away a mattress a week for 4 weeks. What do our listeners have to do to enter?
What you need to do is follow It's Been a Week podcast on Instagram and Temper ANZ. That's Temper ANZ. You need to like the Instagram video announcing the giveaway and then share the video on your Instagram story tagging It's Been a Week podcast.
And that's all our listeners need to do. When will the winner be announced?
The winner will be announced on next week's episode, Alicia. Back to the show. Now, from the opposite of nothing better to, for you, the very worst news update, and that is the snake explosion that we've experienced over summer. Basically, every day of the holidays I was sent a video of a snake. Did you know, Alicia, that snakes can swim?
I don't want to know because snakes are my biggest, they are my phobia. I have a snake phobia. if I found one in my house, I would literally burn it down.
You have a really nice house too, so that's sad.
It's sad, but it would go. It'd be burnt to the ground. I can't even looking at them like on the phone or on the TV, I just cannot stand them.
I saw two over the holidays as we were in this rural area. So one that I saw was actually at the local tennis court and my little daughter was playing tennis and had walked straight past it. And my older one just goes, there's a snake. And it was this massive brown snake that lives, actually turns out they'd built like a rockery. So he's like in his best place.
They want it there.
Sunning himself. He's encouraged him to go there.
Oh, no.
And then we saw another one as well. So you're kind of used to them in the country, but they've come very much into the city this summer. And it's been interesting. People have sent me, I'm going to clip up a reel and put it on.
I won't look at it.
Put it on our socials. Will. It's been a week. And we've had swimming snakes. Mm-hmm. We've had snakes in South Yarra. We've had snakes in, suburbs that you generally wouldn't see them around Melbourne. But you've investigated.
Yes, I've spoken to Stuart McKenzie. He's a snake catching expert. And he basically said floodwaters across Australia, they've provided the perfect breeding ground for snakes. Also, it's hatching season, so all the babies are out.
That sounds fun.
Which gives me the even worse. And then just the warmer weather, especially here in Melbourne, and the long grass. Remember all the stories about the long grass?
People not cutting the grass. I was sent the best story. This was my favourite out of all of them, and I covered this when I was hosting the radio. This guy rang up and he used to be at the army barracks at Puckapunyal, and his mate was asleep outside one of the cabins. And he's woken up, his mate is shouting at him, mate, wake up, there's a snake on your chest. And the guy was like, whatever, he thinks he's having him on. And he looks down and this tiger snake had curled up on his chest for warm. So he's woken up and there's a snake on his chest.
I would have a heart attack and die. That's what would happen to me. Anyway, Stuart McKenzie from Sunshine Coast Snake Catchers. They also have their own show, which, again, I cannot watch.
I'll watch
it. He has this to say if you do come across one.
Best thing you can do is obviously remove yourself, any other people, kids, pets from the danger, so away from the snake. If it doesn't move on, then you can obviously call your local snake catcher and they can come out. It's the same thing in the bush. If a snake is crossing the path, you simply stand still, let it cross the path, and then you can walk on through.
So that's the hot tip on snakes. And I'm going to put the best and worst videos on our socials, as I said, Alicia.
Alicia, just quickly, what are you willing to get paid to touch a snake, do you think?
You couldn't pay me like $5 million.
That bad.
Well, it's funny you say that because years ago I went to Vietnam backpacking and I got one of those photos with the big python, they put it around you. Loved it.
Again, you couldn't pay me.
It's kind of a weird sensation to have them crawling on you sliding on you.
I also have nightmares about snakes.
That's a proper phobia.
No, it's a phobia.
Let's cover something you're happier to talk about now.
Please.
Speaking of watching out for snakes, what have you been watching on telly over the holidays?
So I'm late to the party with this, but Succession, I'm obsessed. And when we went away, I couldn't watch it because for some reason it wouldn't load on my computer and it was just the saddest story.
Well, it's also not really appropriate if you've got the kids in the room as
well. Oh, no. Well, we'll get to that a bit later.
I loved watching The White Lotus. I watched both series. The song, I'm obsessed with it.
I watched season one, season two, loved it. It was so sad when it was over.
I'm also looking forward to watching Breakpoint, which is the new Netflix documentary, like Drive to Survive, seeing what that does for tennis. I love tennis. It's one of my favourite sports.
Yes.
And Drive to Survive has been a really amazing revelation for the F1 industry as a whole because it's brought this whole new generation of fans into the sport, and I really want to see behind the scenes and follow Nick Kyrgios, the Nasi Kokkinakis, they're in it.
I'm happy with that too.
Okay, reading. I read The Henna Artist. The only time I read is on holidays because I feel I'd love to read more, but you're so busy in your life with your jobs, and I love to get my Kindle. I know this is probably controversial, but I love to take my Kindle because the book doesn't get damaged on the beach. It's easy to download one if you've finished it quickly. It's light in your suitcase. It's great. I have so many wonderful books on my Kindle I've been meaning to get to. And this holidays I read The Henna Artist. It's fabulous. It's a woman's story. growing up in India and her life story, and it's just a beautiful read. I'd recommend that to anyone. The other one I loved was Lessons in Chemistry.
I know, and funnily enough, I read every night. I love my books, and I'm the opposite to you, Jack.
What a surprise.
I love to turn the pages, the actual physical pages. I love a book.
A book, yeah.
However, Lessons in Chemistry, I can't get into it. I've got it. I can't get into it. I recently read Sally Hepworth's The Soulmate, which I loved, and I love her. I love all of her books. So if you haven't read it yet, it's new and it's also very good.
Okay, now it wouldn't be an episode of It's Been a Week without a mention of my favourite people, Meghan and Harry. You're going to put this as embarrassment of the week, aren't
you? Yeah, I've popped it down in the rundown as embarrassment of the week. Harry, what has he done to himself?
My argument in our earlier episodes of supporting Meghan Markle was, why isn't anyone talking about Harry? Why is all the criticism focused on Meghan? Because in my view, I didn't think she'd done much wrong. And I think following on from our conversation, then the Jeremy Clarkson thing came out, which really did prove her point that she was deeply bullied and there was a deep sentiment against her in the UK press. And he literally talked about her being stoned in the street, which was utterly disgusting. And my sympathy again increased for her. But I am struggling to reconcile. I watched last night the docos were, the interviews were released ahead of his book, which comes out this week. And I struggle to reconcile my thoughts about her and my feelings of her with him because he's being a little whingy.
A little whingy. Well, that is an understatement, my friend. He is whingy, whingy, whingy. At one point, he was the most liked royal.
Yes.
Yes, next to the Queen. Look at him now.
So he's dropped to 20% and Kate and Wills are up at 69, 70%.
Because he's done his dash now. Like, Jack, surely the sympathy, even from you, has be honest.
I wanted him to be able to tell his story in his own words. I am going to read the book. He's done that. So I'd like to finish the book before I make a full judgment. But I thought the interviews were poor on many fronts. When you're talking about your brother and you blueing about whether you should have a beard at your wedding, like every family has an argument.
All siblings fight.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of the things he's talking about he's done in his life as an adolescent or whatnot, everyone has done. It's not just for him.
There's a real dirty laundry feel to this, whereas I felt like the initial interviews with Meghan were not so much dirty laundry as genuine feelings that she had, whereas I feel like this is like this list.
Oh, see, that's how I felt the whole time. I've had enough and I'm not reading the book. I'll tell you that here. I love a book.
Not even for the pod?
No, I'm not reading it. No, enough. I don't want to hear about him anymore. I don't care.
I've downloaded it as an Audible book and I got a hot tip, which was you can listen to it at 1.5 speed, so a little bit faster, and that cuts down the 14 hours to about...
speed this bad boy up.
Halve it. I was thinking, though, you couldn't listen to our podcast at 1.5 speed because we talk fast enough.
We talk way too fast. People slide into our DMs. We're wanting their ideas on content and instead they're saying, please slow down.
We're trying. Speaking of sliding into our DMs, we talked about a couple of weeks ago about me flirting with Dan, which, Dan, I'm sorry, that's
back.
Not what I was doing.
It's never going to go away, though. It's the best.
But we had a great response.
We had a great response. Interior designer extraordinaire Simone Hagg, she slid into our DMs. She actually had two embarrassing moments.
Thanks, Simone.
Yes. Here, take a listen.
At school pickup, one of the dads sort of wandered over with a big smile to say hello, and I gave him a big kiss like he was a long-lost, I don't know, boyfriend. And then I was like, oh my gosh, what did I just do? I actually had a highly inappropriate accidental flirting incident on the way to the Maldives, and the kids went through security and had something in their pockets that needed to be patted down. And it was a gentleman that said, we're going to need to check your kids if that's okay. And I said, you can check me first. And I actually just meant that it was more that they could show the kids what they were going to do so they didn't get a fright. But, he thought I was coming on a bit hot.
Don't worry about Simone, Alicia. I can top that because just before we came into the studio, a police officer rang me. I'll call him Senior Constable Smith from the Cheltenham Police Station. And he asked if it was me and I said yes. And you know when a police officer rings you, you start to get nervous.
You panic.
Like, what law have I broken? I'm panicking, thinking, was I speeding and I didn't know? Did I do something? So I'm just ringing to let you know that we've been to your house. I'm like, oh no, because my husband's away interstate at the moment. And before he left to go interstate a day and a half ago, he left the front door open and just left.
Wide.
Wide. So the neighbour has rung the local police and said, this door's been open for 24 hours. And two police officers have gone through my house, thank you very much to both of them, to see if we've been robbed. And it doesn't look like we've been robbed. But embarrassment of the week to Michael for leaving the front door open for over 24 hours with no one home.
And I was with you when they called. And the best part of this was that you actually weren't worried that you'd been broken into.
Oh, no.
You knew straight away that it was your husband who just left the door open.
I don't need to worry about embarrassment of the week. My entire marriage is generally an embarrassment.
Well, speaking of, we're going to move on now to our That's Not On segment.
Okay, so what hasn't been on over the holidays is you made a booking when you went away for two separate apartments by mistake.
So our accommodation I booked back in August, and usually we book a two-bedroom apartment. But when we arrived, for some reason, I had booked two apartments. So we spent our lovely family holiday in two separate accommodations.
This is the dream.
They weren't even near each other, Jack.
This
so it wasn't even interconnected.
This is the dream.
And you know what? It was the best holiday I've ever had.
So what's not on is holiday romance. And I use the term romance as a replacement for
loosely?
Another word. Yeah. So we've been staying with our family. So there's been no romantic moments.
I heard Michael in the background when I was on the phone to you the other day yelling
complaining.
Out, I'll tell you what's not on. I'll tell you.
Listen,
staying at Jack's parents' house is not on.
It's still not on. Sorry, doll. So that pretty much wraps up the pod for this week. DM us if you've ever left the front door of your house open and let me know, is your husband as thoughtless as mine?
As silly as yours.
Have you ever done that?
I did leave our front door open one morning. Like, we were all asleep in the house and we woke up in the morning and the front door was open. Sadly, well, or not so sadly, everyone was still there, including Frankie, the dog.
She didn't escape. Next week we're going to be releasing first thing on a Thursday morning. So keep your ears open and your eyes peeled.
And please slide into our DMs with anything you want us to talk about. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast on Apple or Spotify. It's been a week.
It's been a week. See you next week, Alicia.
Bye.
So, Alicia, not all of us can be blessed with a beautiful mane of hair like yours. So our friends at Chemist Warehouse have hooked us up with a game changer. It's the Lady Jane Salon Pro Rechargeable Straightening Brush. I'm going to get it out now.
Oh, good size.
And it doesn't matter if you have a beautiful head of hair like yours or you need a little help from your friends, my friends being my little hair extensions that I clip in here. This one will keep you looking good on the go.
So it's a rechargeable straightening brush. So does this mean if I have it charged, I can keep it in my handbag, take it in my beach bag, swim all day, and then use it like just before I head up for a little cocktail?
You love a cocktail?
I love one.
Well, I love this, exactly. I did it a couple of times over the break. It was great because it works really well, but it's also really quick and easy. You know those times when you leave home and you think you're looking 10 out of 10, your hair's looking great, and it gets to the middle of the day and it's all just fallen a bit flat and you don't have access to any PowerPoint, you don't want to take a big straightener, you can just put this one in your handbag, maybe after a swim at the beach, and you can do it on the go. It's perfect.
Jack, I will never forget our photo shoot for the podcast. It's been a week. You were very angry. One of your little hair extensions went rogue. We should have had this guy.
It would have looked a lot better if I'd had this product, because when it's just not sitting right, you can't do it on your own, just to have that little extra help.
Idea. So handy in summer as well.
And with all that humidity that's been in the air lately, this one, bang, fixes it straight away.
Absolutely perfect for people like us. We're on the go. We need a quick fix. We want to go from the gym to maybe a coffee with a girlfriend. Mm-hmm. We want to go from work straight out to dinner. Or, as I said, from the beach to a cocktail.
Just so handy.